Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Bordoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI wraps up his apostolic visit to Lebanon with the prayer that the country may continue to live in peace. The president of Caritas Lebanon looks back to the Pope's just-ended journey and speaks of the challenges his organization faces in this particular time in history. And Father Jim Brand continues in his reflections on the scriptures, reminding us that we have all been loved into being. Pope Benedict XVI is back at the papal summer residence at Castel Gandolfo after returning on Sunday night from a three-day apostolic visit to Lebanon. Before leaving the country, the Pope, in a farewell speech, thanked the people of this nation for their cordiality and enthusiasm, and he prayed that Lebanon may live in peace and courageously resist all that could destroy or undermine that peace. Vatican Radio's Tracy McClure followed the event at the Rafik Hariri International Airport. She also takes a look back at this unforgettable visit.
This has been a visit that many thought would never happen. To a region in turmoil, Pope Benedict took what countless inside and outside his church say was a courageous trip that could have cost him dearly. Even dearer to him, though, is this suffering land, which gave birth to Jesus Christ and today's 2.2 billion strong Christian community. But in today's Middle East and North Africa, there may be more olive trees than Christians who struggle to maintain a presence of 4% of the population. It was from these regions that bishops gathered in their 2010 synod to discuss the challenges facing their churches and come up with proposals how to face them. And though this was in part a state visit with enormous popular support from Muslims and Christians all around, it was also a hugely important pastoral one. The Pope came to deliver to the region's bishops the apostolic exhortation concluding their synod and providing a roadmap towards the future of the Catholic Church here, and what a drive that is likely to be. Taking his leave of President Michel Slimane, a Christian who came, even unexpectedly, to every public event on this trip, Pope Benedict said in visiting here, it was as if Peter himself had come. And with this Pope, the See of Peter did return home to the Middle East, this holy land, by virtue of this trip to Lebanon. A Lebanon cited dozens of times in the Bible and present, Pope Benedict said, in the sanctuary of God, in shrines built and decorated with Lebanese cedars.
Iran, que j'ai évoqué en arrivant, envoya du bois provenant des cèdres du Liban.
A nation made up of 18 different faith confessions. May Lebanon continue, he said, to be a place where men and women can live in harmony and peace in order to give the world not only a witness to the presence of God, but also to the communion between people, whatever their political, social, or religious standpoint. For of all places in this region, and despite occasional tensions, perhaps only Lebanon best lives out the equality and freedoms of religion and of conscience of all of its citizens, regardless of their faith. The Pope prayed that Lebanon may live in peace and courageously resist all that could destroy or undermine that peace. He hoped the nation would continue to permit the plurality of religions and not listen to the voices of those who wish to prevent it.
Je prie Dieu pour le Liban, afin qu'il vive dans la paix.
For his part, President Slimane thanked the Pope for his love of his country and his efforts in support of Lebanon's stability and coexistence. In urging people here to take the apostolic exhortation to heart, he said there can be no progress without peace, and no peace without justice, at a time in which human dignity is under threat in many neighboring Arab countries. Despite the turbulence and the violence, however, he said there is nevertheless hope for democracy, liberty, and peace. The president admitted the Pope was leaving to the Lebanese a big responsibility and promised on behalf of them to do whatever it takes so that Lebanon can remain a country of dialogue and openness, a witness to the truth, to life and mutual respect. This mutual respect could not have been more evident in the scenes we saw at the presidential palace, where the Pope met Lebanon's chief Muslim and Christian political leaders, representatives of the world of culture and religious leaders. The Orthodox priest I spoke to called that meeting historic. Never in his country's history had all these figures gathered to meet in that seat of power. And one couldn't remain but moved at the sight of Pope Benedict, cupping in his hands the hands of Muslim clerics as they lingered to say their own private words of farewell at the airport. The Pope thanked them in particular for their presence, commenting how much it contributed to the success of his journey. Indeed, all the Lebanese contributed to making this visit a real success. The Muslim and Christian young people who turned out in the thousands in a youth gathering Saturday to pray with the Pope for peace and the courage to face an uncertain future. The Christians from the region's seven different Catholic rites who gathered together with Orthodox, Protestants, and Muslims for Sunday Mass on Beirut's waterfront. A tangible sign of the desire for communion and brotherhood, and a call to action to the region's faithful to stay in these lands and work for the common good in their church and in society. He was a pope bearing a message of peace, calling for the gift of peaceful hearts, the silencing of weapons, and the end to violence in Syria and across the Middle East. He was a father to Christians young and old here, listening to their worries, giving them hope, telling them, we're in this together. Do not be afraid. In Beirut, I'm Tracy McClure.
Thanks there to Tracy McClure for that report. Mohammed Samak is advisor to the Grand Mufti of the Republic of Lebanon and secretary of the Committee for Muslim-Christian Dialogue in the Lebanon. He is also the author of various books, including Minorities Between Arabness and Islam. Speaking to Susie Hodges, he expresses his hopes regarding the legacy of this apostolic journey.
I really hope that this visit will implement what the Synod about the Middle East has already stated and decided, that Christians of the Middle East should remain in the Middle East, should stick to the Middle East, because Christianity was before Islam in the Middle East, and Christians were there, and they are there, and they will remain there in the Middle East. And I hope the visit of Pope Benedict XVI will encourage Christians to follow this line and to live together with the Muslims of that part of the world.
Do you think that Lebanon in this regard can prove an example, be a role model to the rest of the Arab world? Because it's an Arab country where both Christians and Muslims live alongside each other and share a stake in the governing of the country.
Yes, of course. Here I remember with great appreciation and respect to what late Pope John Paul II said about Lebanon, that it is a message and it is more than a country. This message is a message of conviviality, of living together. And the Christians and Muslims are really in a position to give a message to plural societies in the Middle East and all over the world. It is true that some politicians and political parties in Lebanon are not always up to the standard of this message. But if you look into the relations between religious leaders and religious communities in Lebanon, you find that this message is very sincere and very well respected. So Lebanon is in a position to be the message, and it will be the message of conviviality in this part of the world.
That was Mohammed Samak, advisor to the Grand Mufti of the Republic of Lebanon and secretary of the Committee for Muslim-Christian Dialogue in Lebanon. One major theme that wove its way through Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic journey to Lebanon is the plight of peoples whose lives are disrupted by conflict and violence. And throughout his visit, he reiterated his closeness to the people of Syria, many tens of thousands of whom are crossing the border in search of refuge. Caritas Lebanon, founded 36 years ago, is part of the far-reaching family of Caritas Internationalis, the Vatican aid agency with a mission to bring help and support to millions of people in need across the world. Father Simon Fadul is the president of Caritas Lebanon, and speaking to Vatican Radio's Tracy McClure, he expresses his feelings regarding the Pope's visit to his country.
Father, you have been following this papal visit from the start. Can you give me your impressions?
My impressions are very, extremely positive, certainly. And there is a lot to say about this papal visit, its fruits, and the hope it brought along. I think from the first minute the papal plane landed at the airport, we felt like the climate has changed. The climate among people, especially, you know. People of this land, be it the Lebanese people, everybody, we felt much more united, much more closer one to another. And I think by his visit, the Pope were able to unite the whole country. We were, throughout the functions, we had people of every denomination, every religion, and every walk of life was there. And this is in itself, I feel it's a great accomplishment. And then, by his words, he was able to plant much more hope, stronger hopes in our hearts and our minds, especially in the young people's hearts and minds. In yesterday's event in Kirki, it was like the heaven was open. I personally felt so. I had the opportunity to be close to the event this time because I'm part of the preparation team and whatever. But I tell you, the view of last night's gathering in Kirki, in itself, I think it was sublime. I don't know if you agree with me, but there's really something out of this world. Thousands of young people shouting Benedictus and blessed is the one who's coming. And, you know,
all it was interesting, too, to see how many Muslims were there.
Oh, yes, Christian and Muslim alike, and not only Lebanese and Syrians and Iraqis and Jordanians and Egyptians and Cypriots, and, you know, it's wonderful. The experience, I felt last night, I felt like it was Pentecost, because there was this chanting.
And that's not the first time I've heard that.
That's true. I mean, today, certainly, it was sublime today. But because today people didn't have a role. But yesterday, the youth had a role. I mean, you know, they were the actors. They took the initiative. They chanted. They organized. They danced. And they addressed the message to the Pope. And it was a message of great hope. And then the Pope's message last night, I feel it was very, very strong, you know. And I was so happy when he reiterated the message of John Paul II when he told him, open up your hearts to Christ, be not afraid. It was wonderful. I think certainly we have to wait and see about the echoes, not only the echoes in the minds of the people, in the lives of the people afterwards.
Some of the lives that touch you very directly are the lives of the refugees.
Yes.
You've seen thousands of Syrian refugees coming across the border.
Yeah.
How is Caritas able to cope?
Well, to tell you the truth, it hasn't been easy at all. But thank God, for the past 16 months, we have been working with them in the north, in the Bekaa, in Beirut. Now we started in the south, because they have been widespread all over the country because of their acquaintances and their relatives who are here and there. Because until now in Lebanon, there is no main camp where they could land, you know. It's like they come and they have to arrange themselves to find a shelter somewhere. And I think this is the most difficult thing. So we as Caritas, we have been able for the past 8 months to help over 20,000 people. We certainly provided them with food parcels, with hygiene kits, with mattresses, blankets. Our medical mobile clinic was touring where they, you know, the place of their existence, to ensure preventive medicine and the basic medicines. So with certainly specialized doctors and nurses. So we've been trying to reach out as much as we could within our means, because it takes a lot of means, a lot. We have had some European and American partners who certainly popped in and helped us in this. We do hope, and I hope if they listen to me to get the message, we do hope that the responses for our second appeal will be even much greater, so that we could really render the services we are supposed to and we are planning to.
We were talking in another interview a few weeks ago, you were telling me that a lot of these people who are coming across the border are being put into homes.
Yes.
Or renting a space of land where they're putting up their own tent.
That's true.
But why isn't there a tent city?
The government hasn't accepted to erect, to put up a camp. They are afraid. It's a political decision. And I can understand their fear because of the Palestinian camps we have all over the place, and which were erected in 1948, and until now they are still there. Certainly they are afraid like this could give the people the feeling that they could it could last a little bit more than they supposed to, or it goes permanent, or, you know. I think so. And this fear is prohibiting the government from putting up camps.
So what is the solution here? The United Nations Refugee Committee, is that
the United Nations is, I think, negotiating with the government around this specific issue. Mm. And if the government agrees, then the United Nations, the UNHCR, will take, I think, the initiative. Meanwhile, they are arranging themselves with the acquaintances and relatives, and people are opening their homes despite their poverty and everything. And some places they are putting up tents themselves. Here we are ourselves studying the possibility of creating, you know, the basic needs, the infrastructure for them, so that they could at least have a normal life, a bit of a normal life, you know.
That was Father Simon Fadoul, president of Caritas Lebanon. And now Father Jim Brand continues to share with us his reflections on the scriptures. Today he muses about the Annunciation and on how we have all been loved into being.
Last week I was thinking about how the Lord stands at the door and knocks. And I was looking at the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and the rocket sent to the church in Laodicea, and how courteous God is when speaking to us, where we are, at whatever level we're at, at whatever time in history. I thought today I'd just look at the amazing thing that's happening in the Annunciation. If you want to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. I've never met an angel. I believe totally in the world of spirit. Anyone who loves knows there's an area of reality which is beyond test tubes, litmus paper and thermometers. Scientists have to bow, as well as research. There's a wonderful man in England called Sir Patrick Moore, who's opened for me and for thousands of others the world of astronomy. And he is so modest and humble. He knows as much as anyone probably about the Crab Nebula. But the more he knows, the more he's amazed. There's something very attractive about someone who grows in humility as they grow in knowledge. There's nothing more ugly than an arrogant academic. No wonder Sir Patrick has such a following. He's a great teacher, because a good teacher is someone who's acquainted always with ignorance. Otherwise, he shouldn't be allowed anywhere near the ignorant. There are some professors who really should be not teaching, but should be doing research in libraries. Because to be a good teacher is a revelation. There is nothing in this world like a good teacher. So when they called our Lord teacher, he said, "Oh, God, I like that, say it again, because that's what I am." It's a wonderful thing to be a teacher. Well, the nearest things to angels I've met are my fellow human beings. They all have a little label round their necks with love from God. We're all messengers sent by God. And this is what a courteous angel does when he approaches Mary. It is actually the shape of all the sacraments. It is the way our Lord told us to approach people, because it is the way God, through his angel, approaches us. The first thing the messenger does was to greet the lady. Hail. You could walk into a room and say, "Morning all." Didn't look at anyone. To feel greeted means you feel you are someone, not something. You grow 6 inches tall. It's a wonderful thing to be treated as someone. It costs nothing. With our eyes and with our attention, if we treat someone as someone, they become someone. It's a miracle. It's a wonder. It's more significant than anything that happens at Lourdes or anywhere else. The second thing the messenger does is to compliment the lady. Just as there are many people in the world who've not been greeted and not treated as someone, but as something, another national insurance number, another mouth to feed, so also we're not very good at complimenting each other. When was the last time somebody told you, "You make the best rice pudding in London"? Oh, that was years ago. We need complimenting regularly. There are so many things in this world telling us, undermining us, that we're really not very good. Have you noticed in superstores people keep looking at each other's trolley? I've met people and they didn't look at me, they looked to see what I'd bought. And there's a great one-upmanship going on. Oh, chocolate-coated ants, really? Is that the latest thing? If I stood there with a packet of All Bran without blushing, that's great. How old is your car? Where do you go for your holidays? Do you go to North Africa as opposed to Spain? They don't let you know it's 10 more minutes in a plane, but it sounds more exotic. The whole game of advertisements is really telling you you're not all right. You think you've been having deep sleep for the last 30 years, do you? Well, we're telling you, you can't have deep sleep unless you have this hot chocolate drink before you go to bed. There is a group of us into this hot chocolate drink, the like of which others couldn't imagine. There's a sort of nirvana, deep sleep. So many people think, "Oh, I thought I had been sleeping all right. Obviously, I'm not. I have to buy this chocolate drink now." Your face. Oh, are you like some of the film stars? You better go and have a facelift. Go to Baden-Baden, to the spas. The whole of the advertisement industry is aimed at telling you you're not all right. You have needs, the like of which you would never understand. And so people spend their money on trivia. By God's grace, I am who I am. And in prayer, God wants to greet us. Jim, he wants to compliment us. You're full of grace. And the word grace simply means gratis, free love. Do you realise you and I have been loved into being? Usually with human beings, we get to know each other exist first, and then we may or may not get round to loving each other. That's the order of events. But with God, it's the other way around. He loves us first. That's why we exist. So if you have any doubts about your existence, just pinch yourself and say, wow, he loved me. That's why I am. So I beg you, never ever again try to get God to love you. The blockage isn't God, it's us in allowing ourselves to be loved. You know, we're uptight, hard to get. Because if we allow ourselves to be loved, we change. And in change, there's always a growing pain. I used to think I was a sort of pot. Sort of pot you keep under the bed, really. Nothing much to look at. Other people were dressed in china on the mantelpiece to be admired. And then the potter started mucking around with me and pulling me about. And I realised I'm a teapot. He's done the handles, I'm still waiting for the spout. Because we're naturally conservative with a small c. We don't like to be changed because we have to be more responsible. We make more mistakes as well. But his love is gratis, it's free. So I beg you, don't try to get God to love you or buy his love with prayers and good works. Just allow him to love you and know that you've been loved into being. Well, Mary was a bit surprised at this greeting and thought perhaps you've come to the wrong address. And so the messenger said, do not fear. There've been missionaries and people who've spread fear throughout the world in the name of Christ. I've spent my whole priestly life trying to undo their damage. Supposing I was at Dover waiting for Napoleon to invade us, well, we'd have all our guns out. We'd have all the sentries ready, and the ship appears. And we think, stand by. And as the ship got nearer, we realised it didn't have any guns, it only had cauliflowers on deck. Eventually I'd have to say to them, my soldiers, OK, have a coffee break. Of course, the French ship might have had guns under the cauliflowers. We're always at risk. But for all sorts of reasons, we're naturally afraid. My hands, which can play Beethoven and Mozart very well, sometimes look like talons. You know, rather threatened. How are we disarmed? We're only disarmed and remove fear when somebody approaches us who has no arms at all. So I beg you, sometime, just sit in front of the picture of the Madonna and Child. Don't talk to it. Just let it speak to you. What religion in the world is there that has a God, a Son of God who comes to us without teeth in his gums, his fingernails couldn't scratch you yet, in need of a diaper change, hungry, thirsty, utterly vulnerable. He couldn't harm you if he tried. That'll disarm us. Or just sit in front of the cross. Don't talk to it, just let it speak to you. Sans teeth, sans breath, sans everything. He's the wounded one. He couldn't hurt you if he tried. So in your prayer, just sit, if you like, in front of the cross, and in front of the Madonna and Child, and listen to the angel's message, do not be afraid. And next week, I'll continue with the Annunciation.
That's all from the English Feature Programme today and from me, Linda Bordoni. But we will be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.radiovaticana.va. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.